The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, July 28th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. It's not a typo. It's a way of life. The home of the 2010 Normal National Conference, and I've got all sorts of great breaking news to tell you about that today. But before we do, let's visit with the man to my left, the man steering the ship of state, Ganja John. Oh, John, we got all sorts of cool stuff to tell folks about the Normal National Conference today. It's going to be so much fun. We visited the new location of the Cannabis Cafe yesterday. It's beautiful.
We christened it, actually.
We actually did christen it. So you think that'll be a good location for our parties?
You guys are going to be floored by this place.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And joining us from our virtual studio in Astoria, Oregon, the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, guys. Man, that sounds like all good news. I can't wait.
It's all good news. And, Carrie, I'm going to break the first little bit of good news here for you. At the Normal National Conference, of course, I'm going to be quite busy being the Normal Outreach Coordinator. I'm hosting a couple of panels. And so to cover our live stream for the 3 days of the conference, we were hoping Normal Foundation would like to officially invite you to be the host of our live stream.
Oh, that would be great. Can Ganja John help?
Not only will Ganja John help, we've got you another special guest co-host, Chris Goldstein, the founder of this program.
Oh, my gosh. My heart be still. I love that man.
I was telling them on the conference call today, look, we can run the stream for free, but we can do it like public radio and be soliciting for donations. You know, hey, we're bringing this to you for free. You know, help donate. And if there's any two people I know from public radio that know how to do that, it's you and Chris Goldstein.
Oh, yeah, that is going to be one great time had by all. I can't wait to be there, and I can't wait to meet a bunch of stashers that we've been texting online, and I can't wait to see them. They're all planning on coming out.
Yes, and that's the other wonderful bit of news I get to break here is that the Saturday night special invite-only party for Normal board members, Normal chapter leaders, and a few selected guest volunteers from our Normal Show Live chat room who are going to be here in town at the world-famous Cannabis Cafe. So we are going to have a thrilling time Saturday, September 11th at the Oregon Normal, world-famous Cannabis Cafe. So we'll tell you more about that as we go through the weeks here on the show. If you're interested in the conference, check out normal.org/conference. And Carrie here is going to be bringing us our headlines right after the top of right after this first break. And what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we get to talk about our nation's capital finally getting its medical marijuana. Well, not just yet. I mean, what's another 8 months when you've been waiting a dozen years? And a California judge in one of the most pot-friendly counties in California turns out to be not so cool. And since we are in the heart of vacation season, a little traveling advice to keep you out of trouble. That and more on today's Hemp Headlines.
All right. Thank you, Carrie. We'll get right back to that. And today we have our Daily Toker Tunes. It's Irie Wednesday. Johnny Reefer Seed from Des Moines, Iowa will be joining us, bringing us the best new reggae tunes. At half past the hour, every Wednesday, we do Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be joining us for an extended period of time today, answering your live questions from the chat room. If you want to get a live question in, it is a friends-only chat room, so sign up on Stickam, get yourself an account, send a friend request to Normal Show Live. I'll be approving them throughout the show. You can get your live question answered here. Plus, a little radical rant on drug testing at the end of the show. It's Normal Show Live. We're back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, invites you to our 39th Annual National Conference, Legalization, Just Say Now, Thursday, September 9th through Saturday, September 11th, 2010, at the Opulent Governor's Hotel in downtown Portland.
The war on drugs has been a part of it, and I think we need to rethink and reform the laws of our
law. Extend your visit through Sunday, September 12th, and you can also attend the free 2-day Portland Hempstock, the largest outdoor cannabis and music festival in Oregon.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just Say Now, the NORML National Conference, September 9th through 11th in Portland, Oregon. Details available on the web at normal.org/conference or by calling 202-483-5500. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carry.
It has been 12 long years that the District of Columbia, our nation's capital, has been waiting for medical marijuana, a measure the city passed by citizen vote with a whopping 69% win. Finally, after getting the blessing of Congress, the city was ready to implement their program in January, but the lack of detail on how the city would operate the program, plus amendments to restrict the original legislation, slowed the process down once again. The council approved the initiative in May, got it signed in June, and Congress had 30 legislative days to review it and veto it if that was their will. Congress did not intervene, so the measure became law after Congress finished up its business on Monday night. But D.C. residents will still have to wait until the sick will be allowed access to legal cannabis. District leaders say it'll be months before the city begins allowing the sale of medical marijuana. 8 dispensaries will have to be authorized by the city, and amendments on the measure now require them to price medical marijuana on a sliding scale so the city's poorest patients can obtain their medicine for free. The city administration plans to formally solicit bids in the fall to operate the dispensaries, which can be run by nonprofit and for-profit organizations. Winning bidders would ideally have experience growing medical marijuana and would be able to comply with the rigorous security procedures. Distributors will be limited to growing no more than 95 marijuana plants at any given location, an apparent effort to meet a federal law that heightens penalties on anyone arrested with at least 100 plants. The administration of D.C. Mayor Adrian Fenty will draft regulation to license dispensaries, track doctors and patients, and process applications for the dispensaries. Health Department officials and Attorney General Peter Nichols said yesterday that they expect a draft of the regulation to be available for the public next week as they begin a review period and public comment process that could take months. David Catania, chairman of the health committee, said he doesn't expect any dispensaries to open their doors until sometime in 2011. Under the current bill, patients would not be allowed to cultivate their own cannabis at home, but activists are planning to continue lobbying city officials to allow patients to grow their own marijuana. After the health department licenses the dispensaries and cultivation centers, zoning objections from residents could further delay implementation. DEA officials who are headquartered in the region have not commented on the D.C. medical marijuana laws, but Catania says he is encouraged by the recent change in policy at the Department of Veteran Affairs to allow vets access to medical marijuana in the parts of the country where it is legal.
Well, this is one of those good news, bad news things. Of course, we're excited that Washington, D.C. has medical marijuana. But what they're getting is not what the people voted for. This was a vote in 1998 where medical marijuana passed by 69% of the voters, right? You look at California, Washington, Oregon, Alaska, the states that were legalizing medical marijuana at that time. California passed with 56%, Oregon 55%, Washington 59%. Alaska's passed with 58%. So here comes Washington, D.C., passing it with 69% of the vote. And the initiative they passed was more liberal than California's Prop 215. They didn't vote for patients will not be allowed to grow their own marijuana. Here's the text from Initiative 59, Section 5A. Any district law prohibiting the possession of marijuana or cultivation of marijuana shall not apply to a medical patient. Cultivation of marijuana. Medical patients were expressly allowed the right to cultivate their own medical marijuana. And furthermore, they weren't limited to 4 ounces like what's being limited here in the D.C. law. In determining a quantity of marijuana that constitutes a medical supply, it shall be a sufficient quantity of marijuana to assure they can maintain their medical supply without interruption in their treatment or depletion of their medical supply of marijuana. In other words, they can have as much medical marijuana as they need so that they never run out. That doesn't sound like 4 ounces to me, especially for some of these patients that have to use a whole lot of it. But even more than that, here's what else was buried in Initiative 59 that's not being implemented by DC a dozen years later. It had the California-style leniency on trusting doctors to recommend marijuana for almost anything if they believe it is useful. The quote from the law, other serious or chronic illnesses for which the recommending physician reasonably believes that marijuana has demonstrated utility, end quote. It might even protect patients' rights from being fired or sanctioned. There's a quote. Insofar as they comply with this act, they are not subject to criminal prosecution or sanction. You could argue that in court. District residents can open nonprofit dispensaries with the explicit right to sell. Doesn't sound like licensed companies or the dispensary gets to, or the district gets to decide who has the dispensaries. Sounds like the people. Quote, residents of the District of Columbia may organize and operate not-for-profit corporations for the purpose of cultivating, purchasing, and distributing marijuana. End quote. Residents of the District of Columbia. They're the ones who decide. And finally, the last one, the health director has to come up with a way to get medical marijuana to the residents on Medicaid or on the Ryan White Care Act. And it looks like that is getting implemented, these provisions for low-income patients. So it's not everything we had hoped it would be, and it's a disturbing trend that New Jersey passes a law with no patient right to grow. D.C. now implements a law with no patient right to grow. Arizona is voting on a law where if you live within 25 miles of a dispensary, you have no patient right to grow. We need to fight for the patient's right to grow.
In California, a Humboldt County Superior Court judge's ruling on Tuesday may be the end for the Hummingbird Healing Center, a medical marijuana dispensary that is located just outside of Eureka city limits. According to the local newspaper, the Times-Standard, the dispensary opened last year but never received a county-issued conditional use permit, something the dispensary has been arguing that it didn't need. The county had sued the dispensary and was seeking a preliminary injunction that would force the center to close its doors until it is issued a permit or the courts find that it doesn't need one. Humboldt County Superior Court Judge Dale Reinholsten granted the county's injunction and in his ruling labeled the dispensary a public nuisance. The center's director, Nathan John, said the ruling is unfortunate, but the center will comply fully with the court's orders, which means that the 1,762 patients that it serves will no longer have access to easy medical marijuana in the Eureka area. The case hinged on dispensaries not being specifically designated in a zoning designation in Humboldt County, then requiring it to seek a conditional use permit. The attorney representing the Healing Center argued that the center is a designated use because it is ultimately a store that sells medical marijuana. The principally permitted uses are stores, agencies, and services of a light commercial character conducted entirely within an enclosed building, such as antique shops, art galleries, retail bakeries, banks, barbershops, drugstores, and food markets. He then asked if a computer store needed a conditional use permit because it also is not specifically listed as a permitted use under the zoning code. The judge, in his ruling, said that the zoning ordinances are not unconstitutionally vague and, based on the evidence not being arbitrarily applied, saying that, yes, the computer store would also need a conditional permit.
Uh-huh. And you think they really would have to go through the trouble of getting one? No. This is something we find when anybody is trying to open up a legal cannabis-based business, is suddenly the county or the city becomes really picky about their zoning laws. All of a sudden, there's all sorts of sub-paragraphs and sub-chapters that need to be read that never seem to apply to other mainstream businesses. Case in point, the Oregon Normal Cannabis Cafe has been looking for 3 months to find a suitable new location. They're opening up this weekend on July 31st at 4:20. But in trying to find this, we looked at numerous buildings all over town. We found one that was on the 7th and Madison area here in southeast Portland, and it was currently housing a motorcycle dealership, right? The indoor dealership. You had all these different motorcycles and scooters you could look at. And there was another place nearby, an antique store in this building. Now, we were denied being able to get in there. The excuse that was given is that it wasn't a retail zoning location. We pointed out that the dealership and the antique store are quite retail, and it looks like they've been there for a long time. And we kind of got the brush off of, oh, well, they, you know, it wasn't a problem if they were there, if you know what I mean. So it's time that we... time we finally go for full legalization, because the reason these things happen, the reason this discrimination persists against legal businesses, is we still maintain this moral prohibition against cannabis, that the people who do it are bad and evil, and any business related around it has to somehow be criminal. Enough already. Vote yes on 19 and do everything you can to legalize for everyone.
And in a story that crosses the news desk from time to time, I thought since it's a vacation season for many, I should probably bring it up. An American cruise ship passenger was hauled off of the Norwegian Dawn, a vessel cruise ship that is in service for the Norwegian cruise ship lines this week. George Komolis, a 37-year-old from Abingdon, Maryland, was removed from the ship after police found 7.6 grams of cannabis in his cabin. The ship was docked in Bermuda at the time. The man admitted that the cannabis was his to Bermudan police, and on Tuesday, a judge in Bermuda sentenced him to pay a standard $1,500 fine. After apologizing to the Bermudan courts and saying it was a very stupid mistake, Komolis headed home by airplane, cutting his dream vacation in half. Bermuda, like many countries outside of the U.S., has very strict drug possession laws. Bermuda in general uses drug sniffing dogs to search for illegal substances on cruise ships, and its police force has made several arrests of cruise ship passengers in recent years, often holding them for days on the island. The cruise lines will allow the police to board the ship as part of the port of call etiquette for foreign ships to dock in its harbors. Another passenger in recent weeks has been hauled off a vessel in Bermuda for arriving in the country with marijuana. The man in that case had 0.56, a half a gram of pot that Bermudan police officers found in his cabin after officers searched his cabin when a caller reported a strong smell of marijuana coming from his room. That man also had to come up with $1,500 to pay his fine before being allowed to leave the country. Although it is uncommon, it does happen a few times during the year that a passenger is pulled off at a port of call and left to find their way through a foreign court system and then find their way home after the ordeal. A New Jersey plumber visiting Bermuda last year on the same Norwegian crown was caught with a few grams of marijuana and trace amounts of methamphetamine. He was fined with $6,000, and the judge in that case told the cruiser he was very lucky he wasn't on his way to Bermuda's Westgate prison.
Wow, you know, I can't for the life of me imagine those guys in those ridiculous shorts getting so up in arms about marijuana. It doesn't seem right, does it?
It's another place for Ganja John to avoid on his world travels, I guess.
Yeah, mark it down, Bermuda. Okay. Yeah. But this is serious, folks. When you go out on these cruise lines, be careful, because you're dealing with things like international waters, for one, and the laws of these other countries that can be, you know, quite severe when it comes to cannabis possession. You're a trafficker. It can be all sorts of problems. It can also also affect you being able to travel outside of the United States from that point on. One of these days we'll have to get Cousin Kenny on the show. My good friend and my cousin, Kenny Davis, he is a drummer, and he played on cruise ships for quite a long time and traveled all over the world. He spent a lot, I think his last time was in Japan, and talked about the difficulties of being a cannabis consumer and having to be on these cruise ships where, you know, they get the people working on them, of course, get drug tested, and when you're in a foreign country, it's hard to hook up with people. So that'll be an interesting story. We'll have to tell that sometime. I was thinking about going on a cruise myself one of these days, but I was thinking maybe Alaska. That might be the place to
go.
That'd
be the way to go.
Yeah, tracking down the elusive ATF genesis of the strain there.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Normal Show Live. We got a lot of stuff coming up on today's show. Dr. Mitch Earlywine at the bottom of the hour answering your live questions via chat. If you can't get to the chat room, it's friends only now. We had an infection of trolls, so we went friends only. Send me a friend request. I'll be approving them all throughout the show, and you can ask your live questions right here.
It's time for a break.
I guess it's break time. We'll have to find something to do with this, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
A Southern Oregon goodness. Lemon Pledge.
I think we should burn it.
Let's do it. Be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that. But finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
Normal Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away some of my head. I'm gonna leave this plastic place to your plastic jewelry and travel to a better place.
Important support legalizing and taxing marijuana use.
I think it's time for a debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale?
Saying I'm in need of change. I'm in need of change. See, I used to get high.
Chong said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagan. You got what you want. Give these people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
See, I used to get high. The end of the day and I used to get high. At times ticking away and I used to get high. Nothing to lose, now I can't get high. Can't get high.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, world, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers in Des Moines, Iowa. America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, now available on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org or mail your CD to Normal Outreach, 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Welcome back, everyone. 24 after the hour, and we are going out to Johnny Reverseed in Des Moines, Iowa for our latest Irie Wednesday tune. Johnny, welcome back to the show.
Reconnect.
Hey, Johnny, can you hear me?
I don't think he can. He can't hear me either.
Oh, well, that's a shame. All right, well, we'll get Johnny next week on the line. For now, we'll just play this next tune. Irie Wednesday, this is Josh Heinrich's Spliff and My Lady.
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thank you. Y'all loving the reggae music? Yeah. Much thanks for coming out to Swag Sock 42. We are very glad to be here. Sit. Baby, I would like it if we could just stay at home. Don't worry about a thing, I'm not even put your makeup on. Oh, no problems, no beers, no cars, nothing going wrong. Yeah, yeah. Just you and me making sweet love all night long. Your knuckles, my girl, she runs with me now every day. Your gives me loving every way. I say, ooh, takes care of my children, I'm not complaining. You're gonna know I'm the reader to the end of my. Sitting with me in the morning, you say, baby, just to give me a light. Say nothing like a split with my lady at my side. I say, cool, cool into my face, and it feels so nice. Never wanna leave this feeling, cause it feels so right. Your knuckles, my girl, she runs with me now every day. Your gets me loving every way. I say, ooh, takes care of my children, I don't complain. Your, and I know I'm the reader, it's the end of mine. We wake up. Boy, you hold me close, nigga, take on the whole afternoon. But I don't care, cause you're the greatest enemy. Where there is no other girl that ever take you out of my life, I say there is no one. Yo, I'ma say that anybody said I have to take back. I'm trying to be a better man, but no, I am not perfect. Still, I can try to down inside, not just let these feelings out. When I'm trying to be the better. Yo, knuckles, my girl, she runs with me now every day. Yo, gives me love in every way. I say, ooh, takes care of my children without a complaint. Yo, and I know I'm the reader to the end of my. Say now, baby, I would like it if we could just stay at home. Yeah. And you're not worried about a thing, girl, not even put your makeup on. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no problems, no bills, no calls, nothing going wrong. Yeah, yeah. Just you and me making sweet love all night. Your knuckles, my girl, she runs with me. Yeah, every day. Yo, gives me loving me out of complaint. You and I know I'm the widow, it's the end of my.
All right, Josh Heinrich, Spliff and My Lady. Apologies to Johnny Reeferseed out there in Des Moines. Thank you for the song. I don't know why we weren't able to hook up the audio. It didn't change anything here, but we'll figure it out. We're right back after this.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. Now, open wide and say, here's your dose of cannabis science.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we're joined once again by Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch, welcome back.
Great to be back.
Oh, how was your week last week? We told folks that you were dealing with your father, and I may have led them to the wrong impression. He's fine, I understand.
He's doing fine. Unfortunately, my mom had a heart attack yesterday, so the health in the family's a little wild. But I just wanted to shout out to everybody. My dad is now a big fan of the train wreck, and I think we're spreading the good news around the family as best we can. So.
Yeah, Dr. Mitch, this is Ganja John. Ganja mom actually had her knee replaced the 4 days after I got my left eyeball removed, and Ganja mom is actually a big fan of the hash plant this week, so...
It's all going around. Everybody's sharing and caring. It's a beautiful thing. Dr. Mitch, our best wishes to your mother, of course. How is she doing at the moment?
So they're going to run various tests and things, and I'm going to, you know, keep a ear to the ground, and I'd probably be making the trip back to Missouri, but I don't want to miss any shows, so I'll do everything I can to be in touch, even if it's a little long distance.
Oh, thank you so much, and you do what's best for your family, of course. We did want to get some questions from our chat room. This is our Cannabis Science segment with Dr. Mitch, where you can get on our live chat, ask questions about not just medical marijuana or the science, but also the history, the culture. Dr. Mitch has done a lot of studies and could probably answer just about any question we throw his way. And the ones he can't, he always comes back the next week and finds an answer. So are you ready, Dr. Mitch?
I do want to throw out one new finding that showed up in the Journal of Addictive Behaviors today. Sort of implies that cannabis users have lower grades than college students who don't use cannabis. It was done out in Louisiana State. It's a good study, but... I'm afraid it's going to get blown out of proportion. When you look close, the folks who get high once a week or more have an average GPA of 2.64, which is, you know, nothing to brag about. The folks who never get high have an average GPA of only 2.94. So we're talking the difference between a B minus and a C plus here, basically. And I want to make sure nobody starts thinking that marijuana actually makes you have bad grades. But, of course, we can't study high because it's hard to form new memories that way.
Yeah, not the best way to learn something new for sure. After the exam, it might be a great way to unwind. When they do these studies like that and they're looking at these average or aggregate GPAs, how do they control for other factors like perhaps people that use cannabis are more likely to come from a poorer educational background or something like that?
It turned out in this sample that the folks who use cannabis actually had dads who were more educated, which I, of course, had to chuckle at. But otherwise, they didn't do a very good job. And I wanted to emphasize, too, that this is self-reported GPA. It wasn't checked on or confirmed in any way. And it wasn't longitudinal. We don't know if these folks had bad grades back in fourth grade, for all we know. So I really don't want to make too much of this. And if it does hit the media, I just want to make sure you're educated on it beforehand.
Okay. We're going to go to our chat room now and get some questions. And if you'd like to ask questions, remember, you have to send us a friend request, and we'll approve that during the show here, and you can get into the chat and ask. We'll start off with this first question about the differences between sativas and indicas. Why do they affect us so much differently, considering it's supposed to be the same plant species?
This is an interesting question, and in fact, it's hard to find a pure indica strain anymore, or necessarily a pure sativa strain, but it looks like the clincher here may be that concentration of cannabidiol. So the THC can be comparable, but because of different levels of cannabidiol, that may contribute to indicas and their reputation for being a little sleepier or more of a couch lock kind of experience, whereas the sativas may be a more cerebral and heady one. But again, we're kind of shooting in the dark here, in part because we don't have national funding for this kind of research. So that's our best guess so far. There are probably other cannabinoids and things going on in there that we may not have discovered yet.
Okay, Profis has a question. Yesterday on our show, our guest was Len Richmond, who's a writer who has put together this documentary film called What If Cannabis Cures Cancer, and he interviewed many medical specialists on this subject. Have you seen that movie, and what are your thoughts about that premise?
I haven't seen the movie yet, but I'm looking forward to catching it, and the premise makes sense when you start looking at the laboratory data. So not just THC, but a number of cannabinoids can shrink tumors, not just hold them down, but actually shrink them in Petri dish and even in some of the rodent studies. This looks really promising. So I got to admit, compared to almost anything else we've got going right now, this sounds like it's got a whole lot of potential.
Okay. Matter of Liberty is asking about your father becoming the fan of Trainwreck. Was that his first time? And how do you convince someone that they should try something when they're, you know, in that stage of life?
Oh, no, my dad goes way back to the 60s with the plants, so this is not a big adventure except for with this new strain. Generally, what I do to encourage folks, if I think it would be helpful to them, is set up a wonderful set and setting. So have an environment where things are going to be fun anyway. Let them start out with an extremely small dose. When folks are first learning how to smoke, if they've never smoked before, they spend a whole lot of time just trying to master the inhalation process. If you've got a vaporizer handy, that's a little easier on people. And then make sure they get a good 15 minutes, half an hour before they consider taking a second dose. And make sure you've got, you know, fun to play with, things to watch, nice food to eat. And what a surprise, it'll be a splendid experience, and odds are high they'll want to do it again.
Okay, great question here, moving on to an anthropological subject here from White Talon. And it has to do with the history of cannabis and how we look back. And we often, in speaking with you, we talk about the Chinese emperor and all of the artifacts we find from Asian cultures getting this credit for using cannabis. But White Talon points out the evidence of Native American use and artifacts that they find in, you know, residues and seed pots and so on that are dated before Asian use. So why is there not as much play on the Native Americans having the historical first use of cannabis?
Despite that reputation, it turns out some of that data is actually still under dispute. So it's clear that tobacco used by Native Americans pretty much from the time we know of cannabis use in Africa. It looks like if it did come by, it would have had to come via Africa and the Caribbean and then into South America and up through North America. And unfortunately, we just don't quite have that confirmation that we have with some of the Asian products. So I've yet to see the evidence that there actually is an Indian peace pipe that had a cannabinoid residue or anything yet. And so that's why that's been controversial, and people have been focusing more on those ancient Asian uses. That's pretty much the reason.
Oh, so the Asian uses are pretty well settled, so it's just the matter of the Native American ones being more controversial at this point.
I mean, in fact, they've actually uncovered a grave that had, cannabis in it over in Asia, whereas we just haven't had that happen here in the States.
And just while we're on that subject, of course, there's a popular, stereotype or thinking of the, you mentioned the peace pipe. That was usually tobacco, wasn't it?
Almost invariably. So it really seems like that was the issue. I have to emphasize, too, that tobacco use then was not an all-day thing the way it is now. They didn't, stop and have a pipe full in the middle of the day. It was more of an unwind at the end of the day sort of habit then.
And am I wrong in understanding that the tobacco they're using then was also much higher in nicotine and was even possibly could have hallucinogenic effects at that point?
It looks like it was probably a little higher in nicotine, but didn't have some of the additives we have now that seem to heighten nicotine's effects. So, unfortunately, the cigarette industry, in an effort to keep the reported nicotine low, has added various ammonia compounds and things that irritate the lungs in a way that more nicotine gets absorbed. So I can't necessarily say that their experience is a whole lot different from the folks who smoke tobacco now.
Okay. The chat room is open. We are taking your live questions for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, but if you're unable to get them into the chat or heard on the air, you can always email 420research@gmail.com if you'd like to take the discussion offline. We got a question now from Apparatus Beats, who wants to know if you saw the ABC News 2020 special yesterday. This was one that featured mothers that are using medical marijuana to treat their children with autism or obsessive compulsive disorder. And do you think this will make moms more open to cannabis medically and in society in general?
That was last week, not yesterday.
Was that last week?
Yeah,
okay.
It was last week.
Okay.
I spoke to Lester about this right before he went on, and it sounded like it could have gone either way, and I haven't caught it yet because in part of the visit with the family. But the bottom line is, I think once moms see that other moms are having success with this, they're going to go for it. You notice that these are really extreme cases of OCD. This isn't just a child who washes hands a few times. I mean, these are bordering on psychotic. These kids can't turn on a light switch without doing it 40 times and screaming the numbers out loud. And when you're dealing with that, I mean, you'll try anything. It's just exasperating. And I really do feel like this is not a situation where I'm so concerned about dependence or some kind of interruption of brain development, because these kids really need something, and I'm dying to see actually more and more folks move in this direction and have a little faith in this plant with literally millennia of safety in its history.
Dr. Mitch, I happened to catch it, and one of the things was is they were talking about giving one of the children tincture who had really severe OCD, and it was a low THC tincture, but the mother said she wanted to move to something higher, something that would give him euphoria, because, a kid going through that maybe deserves a little euphoria because he doesn't have any on his own. And, I can relate to that. And I thought it was actually a pretty positive story. And, talking about Dr. Grinspoon's son, Danny, as a viewer who doesn't, smoke cannabis, I think it would have been pretty positive.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that. And the clincher with, treating euphoria as if it's some kind of negative consequence of the plant. I mean, that's a strange American freak out about anybody having fun. No, I certainly don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, we've had Miko Hester Perez on the show, and we've interviewed her about her treating her son with severe autism. I mean, this kid was having 300 violent outbursts a day. That's, biting and hitting people and himself, as well as, eating his shirts. He literally ate his own clothes. So
yeah, they had to go to organic cotton because he couldn't couldn't, you know, he couldn't eat this crap cotton, basically.
Yeah, so, you know, if a little medical marijuana will help them, it's, you know, definitely less harmful than anything else that's going on in their life. Let's move on to some chat questions. We've got some more that are building up here, and a couple here having to do with cooking with cannabis, asking things about what's the best oil or coconut oil or the best way to cook with cannabis. In general, can you give some pointers on the best way to get the medical efficacy out?
The clincher here is essentially how grassy a flavor are you willing to endure. I love the late Chef Rod. He's a wonderful guy, but he tended to do butter in a double boiler and then put about an eighth per stick of butter and then cook it really hard for like 45 minutes. As it turns out, the THC is probably absorbed in fat in about 25 minutes, and then you're just getting more those flavonoids and things like that, which some people really like, but other folks find aversive. Both olive oil and butter seem to do just fine. And generally, as long as there's a fat in there, it's going to dissolve and get absorbed just superbly. By all means, go ahead and strain it out. For some reason, people seem to miss that step and creating these brownies that are too reminiscent of hay to eat.
Yeah.
And so I want to assure folks that, you know, you've got all the THC there in the fat. There's no need to try to make sure that last little stem is in the brownie too.
Yeah, that's why the butter's black when you strain those plant matter out, you guys. And I dealt with that a lot, you know, when I was younger. It's like, strain it out. I don't want to eat alfalfa in my brownies.
No kidding. All right, great question here. Why does cannabis smell so strongly? And if we raised a strain that didn't smell strong, would it still have a high THC content?
The cannabinoids themselves have that circular part of the molecule that, much like the benzene ring, and so that may be part of it, but also the flavonoids are incredibly aromatic, so you can't help but, have that if you've got a strain that's rich on those. But it's not completely correlated with THC concentration. So as pleasant as a good smell may be, that doesn't mean it's high in THC, or the absence of smell mean that it's low. But it's really those flavonoids that seem to be contributing the most as far as that aromatic experience, shall we say, is concerned.
Okay. We have a question from Carrie, who's on the line. Cannabis Carrie, our call screener. So, Carrie, did you want to ask that question?
You just asked my question. Thanks. That was my question.
Well,
about the smell.
Oh, okay, great. Here, once again, you got to let me know that your questions, Carrie. I'll get you on to ask them. All right, let's go on to Sativa 25, who's asking, in the past, Dr. Mitch, you've recommended not holding in smoked marijuana for longer than a few seconds. What are your thoughts on vapor from a vaporizer? Is exhaled vapor mostly wasted THC?
As it turns out, THC absorbs through the lungs pretty rapidly on contact, so you can hold the hit for a vaporizer without a lot of negative consequence because essentially there's nothing in there but cannabinoids and a few real minor concentration of some other gases, but it's probably not necessary, so any appearance of extra high is probably what you would get just from holding your breath.
All right. A question from Rainbow Family goes back to our discussion we had a few weeks ago on cannabis salves being applied topically. Is there any resolution? Have you heard anything new about how those work when the prevailing view is that it can't be absorbed topically? So what's going on with these cannabis salves?
And I was so sure that can't happen, but now we're starting to see evidence that particularly in good fat-soluble type salves that contain those oils, particularly that coconut oil like that recipe that you guys had going around, are getting the THC through the skin, which I think is phenomenal and in some ways a pharmacological wonder. So clearly our understanding previously was wrong, in part because a lot of the previous salves that were popular here in the U.S. didn't contain fats like those, and so we've learned a valuable lesson.
No, excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I've you know, of course, heard anecdotally from many people who are using it for arthritic joints and injuries and skin conditions even, saying they're getting great results from it, so it's good to know that science is catching up with us on that. We have time for a couple more quick questions, one here from Purple Hazy. busy wanting to know if plant genetics are advanced enough for us to completely control the cannabinoids in the plants.
We can definitely do a good job of predicting THC concentration. We just don't know deeply about the other cannabinoids as far as a lot of that is concerned. But I do want to emphasize that genetics alone is not the whole story. The temperature during growth is a strong contributor to the amount of resin and subsequently the amount of THC. And good care, I mean, you really, you know, got to love those plants to get them to really grow to their optimal potential. And that's part genetics and, of course, a very large chunk of environment.
Okay. And our last question here from Stoned Kidney wants to know, did you get any more information regarding cannabis being effective in maintaining healthier glucose levels in diabetics? Any news on that?
So I searched that, and there really isn't enough published to draw any firm conclusions either way, but I do want to reiterate that if you do get the notorious appetite enhancement, going down for a Twinkie is certainly going to wreak havoc as far as glucose concentrations are concerned, but there's no compelling evidence that the way that appetite enhancement occurs is because of some kind of change in glucose or glucose metabolism. The other thing that folks have emailed me about is that it may be hard to distinguish between the intoxication experience and the beginning of some kind of insulin-related change in consciousness. And so they were concerned that we might be recommending people to do this and then they're going to miss it if their blood sugar is awry. Obviously, keeping a good eye on your blood sugar, and if you're somebody who has to test your blood regularly, that would be certainly well advised if you're going to use the plant.
All right. As always, it's like drinking water from a fire hose. We get so much information when we talk to you, Dr. Mitch, and I know folks love it every Wednesday here. If you've got further questions for Dr. Mitch Erlewine, send them by email to 420research@gmail.com, and get well soon to Dr. Mitch's mom, and good luck to you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it. Take care now.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Erlewine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Erlewine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Erlewine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back. Just about 52 after the hour. Got a couple things to talk about. Had a lot of emails to go through from my time on vacation and traveling all over California for the different events. And there's just a couple things that came up that I wanted to address. I just could not leave it alone. And this was a coverage from back at the end of May. The American Psychological Association had their convention and had some stuff. And it had to do with drug testing, workplace drug testing and student drug testing for that matter. And there's few things about the job I do, you know, lecturing and talking and researching about marijuana prohibition that make me more angry than workplace drug testing. Well, first of all, it's the reason I'm here, and I've got a whole story about that you can read on the blog, stash.normal.org. But I just can't imagine, like, if you had a time machine and you had to go back and talk to Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and Benjamin Franklin, you know, these guys that were hemp farmers and running hemp paper mills and such, and try to explain to them that 200 years in the future, we'd routinely seize the urine of our citizens to judge their fitness for employment, I think they would have probably laughed and done a spit take all over the Bill of Rights they were drafting on hemp paper. I just can't imagine how you'd convince them, how you would tell Ben Franklin, we need your pee to see whether or not you're a genius. So anyway, it always makes me mad. So this brings me to the American Psychological Association, and this is posted upon our blog, stash.normal.org. Drug test results often flawed in meeting coverage of the APA convention here. They talk about how poppy seeds, you know, leading to a false positive for opioids is not just an urban legend. It often happens in amounts enough to fit on half a bagel can, you know, trip you for an opioid on a drug test. But another example here, most standard drug tests don't screen for oxycodone. Ah, you know, Rush Limbaugh's hillbilly heroin, and a handful of other opioids, including methadone and fentanyl, that don't pop up on these workplace drug tests. What they're screening for opioids are morphine and codeine, a couple of metabolites of opioids. But not all opioids produce morphine or codeine in their metabolites. They're not in oxycodone, methadone, fentanyl, tramadol, buprenorphine, and other drugs. Other things, certain metabolites of benzodiazepines are not detected. For example, diazepam, nordiazepam, oxazepam, will be detected, but Xanax, Ativan, and Klonopin are not frequently detected. And they found that these drug tests have a sensitivity of 90 to 95%. So one of the researchers said, quote, this means 1 in 20 tested patients are going to have inaccurate results, and those are more likely to be false positive than false negative, end quote. And in addition to the things like poppy seeds causing false positives, cold medications can give you a positive read from amphetamines, as can Wellbutrin and other tricyclic antidepressants. Zoloft and Dapro can give you a false positive for a benzo problem when you don't have one. An HIV medication called Sestiva can come up positive for marijuana. And dextromethorphan, which you find in cough syrups and such, can show as an opioid problem. So we are so not testing for drugs, people. We are testing for marijuana. Most of the drugs of abuse that they supposedly are afraid of, you know, the cocaine, the meth, the heroin, the ecstasy, whatever, LSD, shrooms, all the drugs, the popular so-called illicit recreational drugs, flush from your system anywhere from 24 to 72 hours. Whereas marijuana is going to stay in your system at least 7 days, 3 to 7 days, even for a casual toker. And for a fat guy like me who tokes every day, up to 100 days. 100 days. So what we are really testing for here is marijuana. And this hits home. This hits personal to me, not just because of my story, but we have a Jackson's Food Store. Here we go. Jackson's Food Store. I'll show you. Here's a cup. Jackson's Food Store, right? Where every day before the show or after the show, I walk Roscoe the dog out to the store and I get my soda, right? I get my caffeine dose because I'm a caffeine addict, far more than I'm a marijuana addict. Trust me. So every day I go to this store, and so I meet the kids that work there. Now, a lot of people, you may know that Oregon is one of the two states where you cannot pump your own gas. It's not allowed. There is no self-serve gas. And this is kind of a good thing because it provides a lot of jobs to people just entering the job market. You know, young kids just out of school, maybe they just got a diploma. They don't have any specific discernible skills, but they can pump gas, right? So I get to talk to these guys that work, and so many are supporting their families and good guys, and I talk to them every day, and they pet my dog, and I love these guys. Well, turns out I go to the store one of these days, a couple days ago, and there's a whole bunch of them that are missing, and there's a whole bunch of new people working on shift. And I find one of them, and I ask, you know, what's going on here? And he says, oh, well, there's big problems here at the store. We came up $1,800 short on an audit, so they're drug testing everyone. I'm like, what? You came up $1,800 short, so therefore the problem has to be somebody must be on drugs because only druggies would steal? Is that the theory here? So three of the people that work there, really good folks, two of them who have families I know of, are out of a job when we have 10% unemployment here in Oregon because of the drug test.
10.5.
Thank you, Ganja John. It's bad. Because of the P test. Now, did this solve their problem? No. No, it hasn't solved. They still don't know who was been filching from the cash register. And when you think about it, knowing that the first thing the company would do is drug test, do you think the people taking the marijuana are likely to be the ones stealing? Or maybe is it going to be the guy who's not using marijuana who knows that they'll be the handy scapegoats? That's what's going on here, people. Now, the other thing that's kind of ironic about this is one of the kids that I talked to, he still has his job there. He is a bona fide medical marijuana patient. He just doesn't have a card. He's not registered with the state. But he suffers from migraines, right? And sometimes people laugh at that. The people who laugh at migraines are people who have never had a migraine or known someone who they love who has migraines. My wife is a patient for migraines. So this poor kid, you know, and I've seen him when he's come back from days of having a migraine and having to go to the emergency room. Sometimes that's how bad they get. But he will not go on medical marijuana because it would cost him his job. Here's a guy who would perfectly qualify for medical marijuana for a condition that medical marijuana is proven to be helpful for cluster headaches and migraines. There is hardly anything that beats marijuana for killing the pain and killing the nausea. Trust me, I've held my wife's hair as she's puked all day over a toilet from migraines. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about, but this kid can't get his card because even as a medical marijuana patient, a legal user of cannabis for medicine, he could be fired from his job from Jackson's Food Stores, pumping gas because he might use a little marijuana to solve a headache. It's insane. Companies, seizing your workers' pee is not the answer to your problems, and it's causing you to lose more good workers than bad workers you're rooting out. Change drug testing. End it now. And let's be sensible about it. Hire people for the quality of their work, not the quality of their pee. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. Take care of each other, Normal Tokers.
Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Dang it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.